Blog Talk Radio.
Talk Live. Hope everybody enjoyed last week's Tuesday night show and our guests Jeff Sandor and Kristen co-hosting. All back on the noon show and time of what's going on. Hope everybody's hunkered down and safe. I'd like to welcome to the show NHRA Pro Mod Drag Racer Dina Parisi. Dina, welcome back to Garage Talk Live.
Good afternoon. Thank you for having me again.
Well, it's always a pleasure having you on. And, it's all looking forward to the racing season. They had a couple events in NHRA as well as NASCAR. And then all of a sudden, all hell broke loose. I mean, Pro Mod didn't even get to run this year.
Yeah, I mean, our plans were to be there this year. with things that are happening, not quite sure how that's going to pan out, but that's okay. If we have to work for 2021, we'll do that too. We've made some updates. Excuse me, my allergies are crazy. We've made some updates over the last few months. And we're just looking forward to getting back out there, just like everybody else. But, we want everybody to stay safe and healthy for the time being. And then when everything's ready to happen, we'll all get out there.
I know, NASCAR, you're starting to televise what they call the iRacing or the video racing that people do on the side there and try to make it look as real as possible. Is it something you'd consider or... if the NHRA went to that or no?
I mean, I love the idea, for now, at least to keep people, interested in the sport and excited about it. The one thing that I am having a hard time with is, NHRA did come out with their new schedule, which right now they're hoping for June. Hopefully that will pan out and they're going to be in Gainesville in June, which is, of course, going to be very hot. And I know that a lot of people are kind of being naysaying about it. I'm not going. It's going to be too hot. I just want to kind of let people know that not everything can be perfect, a perfect scenario. We would love that, but we can't have that. So I would hope that everyone would, even though it's going to be hot, unless it's a health condition, of course, but even though it's going to be hot, I would hope that once this is all over and hopefully they'll be there in June, that everyone will go out and support. That's what we need, especially now.
Yeah, and you got to realize, too, it's NASCAR up until, this year used to run at Daytona in July. And what's hotter than the July 4th weekend? Pretty much in Florida, so.
I mean, we ran last year at VMP, and it was over 100 degrees. So, you know, not so comfortable for the fans, but they were there and they endured, and it was super hot in the car. I mean, I felt like a baked potato in my fire suit, but, you know, I mean, we can't really predict the weather. So I say just get out there and enjoy and support the sport that everybody loves so much.
I'm sure when the time comes, people are just going to be happy to get out there anyway, because it seems like every time you turn around, they're extending these stay-at-home orders. And Virginia, our governor, just pretty much said stay-at-home orders in effect till June 10th or something like that. And it's like,
I thought I heard that this morning, and I thought it was incorrect. I was like, did he say June on the TV? Oh, so I guess you guys are till June. Wow.
Well, at least he said our gun shops were essential, so we could still go out and buy firearms and ammunition here.
Yeah, that seems to be happening everywhere. I think people have just, you know, we don't want anybody to have a knee-jerk reaction, of course, and want to try to keep people as happy and healthy as we can. You know, they can hop on my social media at any time. And, you know, I try to post positive and fun stuff just because I think it's something that we need right now. We need some positivity, and we need to, you know, a lot of people are stuck home, whether they're stuck home with their kids and their husband or just their husband, or some people are alone. So, you know, definitely don't be afraid to reach out.
Oh, that's for sure. I mean, well, you know what I post on my social media, but if you haven't been there,
yes, I do. I find it quite entertaining. Yes, yours is always entertaining. We'll just leave that there.
Yeah.
Well, oh my gosh! Yeah.
What happened was, the company I work for, we make components for Toyota, and Toyota shut down till mid-April. So last week they shut us down for a week and, paid everybody that's a full-time employee. I felt bad for the temps because I don't know what they were going to do. They might have to file for unemployment or whatever. But And then come to find out, was it Sunday night? And this was after I had booked you to do the show today. If I had known I was going to get shut down for another paid week vacation that I didn't plan on, I would have scheduled it for the evening because I did last night instead of getting up early and doing it today. So, but that's okay. I didn't want to text you back and say, hey, can we change the time? Because I don't know what you have planned. You got things to do, and I'm sure you and Andrew are getting creative during the days and evenings. So.
He actually hasn't been feeling well the last couple of days. Nothing along the lines of what's happening. And so I'm actually sitting in the parking lot right now getting ready to go pick up a prescription. And actually tomorrow, yes, April Fool's Day, is our 20th wedding anniversary. So that's kind of cool.
Well, I'll wish you an early happy anniversary then. 20th,
well,
huh?
Thank you. Yeah, crazy. 20 years. I don't really know how we've made it through without killing one another. So that's pretty, I would say that's a feat in itself. That's pretty good.
Yeah, well, my wife and I had actually our wedding will be 26 years ago this April 23rd. So we,
nice.
We didn't kill each other yet either. And, you know, we don't have any kids to deal with, and you don't. And apparently,
right,
except
and
your
we
little
don't,
fur
we
baby.
Yes, we have two fur babies that, one that is super, I mean, they're both sweet, but one that's a little more timid and kind of laid back. And then Pistachio is the black pug that we got. She'll be a year in May, who is just completely insane. And I don't know. I think that's what we love about her is the fact that she's so crazy, but she needs to reel it in a little bit. I'm just saying. Because everybody knows Bella that we had that came to the track with us, and Bella was just so laid back and this one is the complete opposite. I couldn't have put a request in for her to be more opposite. But we're kind of keeping things going. I am going to, and I'm not quite sure, I don't have a date. I'm going to try and do a giveaway with some of our partners' products, Lucas Oil being one of them, CRC being another. So we're looking forward to keeping things going, keeping things light, and then maybe people can get a little cool products prize package out of it.
Oh, that's pretty neat. That's something I meant to talk to you the last time, but didn't get a chance to. Something you're involved in, the Pickles Project.
Yes, the Pickles Project. For those who are not aware, so after Bella passed away, she was 15. She lived an amazing life. We got this little girl. Her name was Pickles. She was 6.5 pounds. She was a Brussels Griffon, which is what our Twizzler that we have now is. And she was just super, super smart. And she actually died being spay. So we did a necropsy, and there were a lot of things that went unanswered by the veterinarian before she had the surgery. So wound up that she had lesions on her. She had a parasite that had gone through her body, was never detected for some reason. And she had lesions on left lesions on all of her major organs. So when they put her under anesthesia, she didn't make it off the table. So that being said, it kind of prompted me to start a pet website. And I have some things that are coming up now to finally start getting it back going, because I've been a little behind on it. So it's really basically just a pet website with some pet information, some fun stories. I have a few stories on there with some of the canines from A&E's Live PD, some of the canine units there, which is kind of cool. So I just try to, keep it positive, keep it informative, and hopefully it will go where I need it to go. I actually have something that one of the toys that one of the dogs had, and I had called the company and alerted them that this toy was coming apart, and they have kind of ignored me. So that's something that I definitely want to let people know. And, and if people want to send me anything or they have a good story, they can feel free. It's thepicklesproject.com, or the Pickles Project is on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, and they can feel free to send me a message. And if they have a cool story, I'm more than happy to get one written for them.
Oh, nice. That's pretty nice. It's sad to hear when things happen like that.
It was devastating, especially we had lost Bella, and we were like, you know what, we'll get another dog. Okay, fine. We lost Bella in November, and we got her we wound up getting her in April of that year, the following year. And it was heartbreaking. The weird thing was, we kind of felt like she came into our lives for a reason, because my birthday and my husband's birthday flip-flopped was her. So her birthday and her passing date, if you flip-flopped our birthdays, it actually came to the same dates. It was very bizarre. So kind of almost felt like those numbers had some meaning, and that I needed to not let her death go unnoticed. And really, even with the necropsy, it wasn't something that we really wanted to do, but the reason we did it was to maybe avoid this kind of heartache happening to another pet owner.
Yeah, that is, especially when, you just get it and things like that happen. I remember...
Yeah, it was horrible.
My wife and I are pretty much cat people, so it's kind of different But I remember one time she had a cat that, I guess, it wasn't hers. It showed up at her house when we lived up north, and she went to take it to get neutered, and it, for some reason, something happened. It didn't make it off the table, so, you know, and it wasn't a young cat, so.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, I know that things happen, but, you know, it is what it is. But, yeah, and we try to, you know, many of our racing family, whether they be fans or fellow racers, many people are pet owners and are animal lovers. So it's kind of a nice combination.
Yeah, and, you know, that, and pretty much a lot of people in the racing community, whether fans and all, they all have pets as well, so they can kind of relate. So now you have a little spastic.
Yeah, most of us would bring them to the racetrack. Yeah, now I have, so we have one that had some very severe issues, like severe separation anxiety, and she was afraid of everything, and she's come around quite a bit. But she was, we've tried everything from, you know, medication to different things, and nothing was working. So we finally decided to get another dog. And they are, they're getting there. It's been a process. They're getting there. They're getting to be buddies. They always look for one another with, if the other one's not there. So.
Oh, yeah, that bond is forming pretty good now.
Yeah. Exactly. So, you know, we're hoping when we get back to racing that we'll bring them to the track. I'm not quite sure if we will or not because of Twizzler's issues, but we'll see. And she's been to the track, and she's done okay. So, but the two of them together may be even better. I'm not sure. So, yeah. So I definitely want people to pay attention because we have just made a few changes and I'm kind of rebranding at the moment. So that I'll have something coming out on that relatively soon. And that's it. You know, I've been doing some public speaking. I have some public speaking in the works that will be coming up for next year. I was supposed to do, I was supposed to be a keynote speaker just recently at the Influences of Midlife, because I am over 50, conference,
nah.
And it was canceled due to COVID, so that's unfortunate.
You can't be over 50.
I am, and it doesn't bother me. You know, people are, oh, I remember one time not too long ago, maybe a couple of years ago, I had a rather famous former racer, not a drag racer, though, you know, tell me that I shouldn't tell people how old I was, you know, for marketing purposes. And I said, well, you know, if they think I'm too old for them, then that's not the company that I want to be with anyway. So that's fine. You know, I'm proud of where I am and what I'm doing, and I'm proud to try to inspire people who are either younger, the same age as me, or older to just get out there and do what they want to do.
They can't be shoehorned into a status. And how do you live your life that way if you got to fit a certain expectation when you get to a certain age?
Well, and I think that it's kind of come to that with social media and everything else, you know, it's kind of come to, like, you know, I mean, I had, and it's since been quashed, so it's not like this is an ongoing thing, actually. And actually, this person and I now kind of kid around back and forth on social media. So it was quashed, but I had someone call me an old lady. And I was like, well, you call me an old lady, just preface it with badass and then old lady, and we'll be fine, because I may be older than you, but newsflash, you're in your 30s. You're going to be where I am someday. And it's not that far off. It goes very quickly. So I'm not afraid to, you know, to say how old I am and be proud of it. I mean, it took a lot for me to get here, so I'm gonna be proud of it. I always say, you know, you age like a fine wine, right?
That's right. So as long as it, but there's always gonna be some people that have sour grapes.
There is, and you know what? Like, I make it kind of a thing for me. I don't argue with people online. I don't have time for that. But, you know, I will try to turn a situation around and make it a little bit more positive. And many times that works just fine, and it seems to kind of quash things down and keep people from, you know, getting crazy. You know, and especially now, everybody is so everybody's so stressed out. You know, so I try to take that into account, too. You know, I see a lot of people attacking other people online. It drives me crazy. But, you know, we just need to remember we're all kind of in this together. So, you know, we need to be there for one another.
That's for sure. I'll tell you this, but you're from up north just like I am, from probably two of the hottest spots where this pandemic is. Doesn't it feel good to be away from there now?
Well, it doesn't. I mean, my parents and my brother are up there, so, you know, of course I worry about them. And I have a friend who was just recently released from the hospital. She's not out of the woods yet, but she's doing better. Another friend of ours that is very sick right now. So it's definitely hit home. You know, when they tell you to stay home, just stay home. Just stay home. You know, I see people gathering, like, they're letting their kids play together, and, you know, they're, like, having parties, and I'm like, that's not really what they meant by it. They didn't mean stay home and invite the neighbors over and have a party. The whole idea was to stay apart. So, you know, that's kind of crazy.
Yeah, I see that, too, and you know, I have family up there. Some of these culprits, I can say, are like my brother's stepkids. They're all together with their kids and all that and having a party. And I was on the phone with my sister because I wanted to talk to my dad, who's talking about old. He turned 90 this year in January.
Oh,
so
that's awesome. That's awesome.
So I always call him from time to time to check on him, but it makes you wonder, like, you know, these people, they don't live all in the same house, but they go to the same house, so it's like they're not getting the message, and you would think they would know better.
Yeah, I mean, I wish people, but I think until it hits home for someone, unfortunately, I don't think that they realize the validity of the situation.
Yeah, I'd like to go up there and visit, but now's not the time. So play it by ear.
No, unfortunately, we can't. You know, they don't want us going up there. They don't want them coming down here. So, you know, I mean, we had plans to do something for our anniversary, and that's not happening. So, you know, I mean, it is what it is, and hopefully, we will be back to racing soon. You know, I'm just thankful, you know, that we have companies that, you know, that keep us going. You know, like I said, Lucas Oil and CRC Speedwire, they're amazing.
What do they do?
DJ Safety. So Speedwire is actually, Gil was a racer himself, and he has car wiring systems. And they're pretty much for any application, and so great to work with. They're an amazing company to work with. They're always there to help you do what you need to do. But for, you know, wiring on a race car, they're definitely, he's the guy to go to. And that's for the harnesses and everything else. And then, you know, you'll have someone put it in for you unless you know what you're doing.
Something I'm not too familiar with. You might be, or Andrew, but...
No, actually, we are not either. So that definitely isn't outsourced. That's definitely outsourced for us. And we have we also have P10 marketing that has done quite a few things for me as of late, and it's going to come out. But rather than Dina Parisi Racing, it's actually now Dina Parisi Ventures. So we've actually taken the racing off of there. Yeah, because I do a lot more, and I do a lot more than just racing, and I feel like people don't understand that with the racing attached to the end of it. So we're just going in a little bit of a different direction. I'm enjoying doing the public speaking and mentoring athletes. I mentor elite athletes. And that includes racers as well, because I think we're athletes. And that includes them and everything from, you know, branding to doing interviews and things of that nature.
So I got to book it through them now next time I need you on, huh?
Yeah, see? Yeah, my people. I am my people.
I'm my people too. So.
Yeah, I don't have a guy. I don't have an assistant. You know, it's funny. I was watching like one of those reality shows the other day, and everybody has an assistant. Like they all have assistants. Like you don't do anything. Not they don't do anything, but there are some of them that don't do much, but they have an assistant. I'm like, okay. Someday I'll have an assistant.
In my household, I'm the assistant. I guess my wife is the boss. I'm sure it's the same way in your household. Andrew's the assistant.
Yeah, pretty much so. Although not today. I'm hoping that he's going to be feeling better soon, but not today. So. And the rain just stopped, so that's good too.
Oh, it's still raining here. It's supposed to rain all day here. I think
that's what they said, but it cleared up a little bit, so I don't know.
There's depending on how the line forms, whatever we get where I'm at, where I'm from, would get it like a day later. So you're not too far from Atlanta because...
Yeah.
We have a mutual friend that has a sense of humor that I introduced you to. Did you ever meet up together?
we haven't met up together, but we do talk online quite a bit, and her cat has gotten quite the exposure, which is really cool. So I like that.
Swayze, yeah.
Yeah, Swayze, right? He's awesome. I love that cat. But I just everybody.
Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. I just wanted to, tell everybody to just keep the faith. We'll get back racing soon, and then we can all get back out there and see one another again and have our big party.
The whole country ought to have a big party when this is over with.
Yeah. And hopefully it won't be too much longer. We have to stand 6 feet apart. I think the funny thing, though, is so anyone who knows me knows that I have always, always had, like, handy wipes or, if not handy wipes, Clorox wipes, antibacterial wipes in my possession at all times. I've always carried them in my pockbook. Matter of fact, I'm running out now because I had, I had a good pile at home that I just used to buy them every time I went out. And people in restaurants knew me because I would always wipe the table as soon as I sat down. And it's very funny that now this has kind of come to fruition. I've had people say to me, well, I guess you were right. You know, even in the pit area, I've always had them. I've always had a container of hand wipes. You know, people want to shake our hands and you know, put their arm around us when, you know, when we're out there. So, and I don't want to stop people from doing that, but, you know, I've always been kind of a germaphobe, so.
I ought to introduce you to my wife. She was always doing basically, well, maybe not to the same extreme that you have, but I always called her a germaphobe. Now
well,
I'm
it
the
was
one
funny
pro here.
2 months, about 2 months ago, I guess, month and a half, we had gone up to, and it was in December, we had gone up to New York, and we had rented a car to take up there. And as soon as I got in the rental car, I was wiping the whole thing down with Clorox wipes. And Andrew, of course, laughed at me because he always does. And I'm like, well, see, there's a lot of reasons for that. And everything that's going on now, I'm like, see? He goes, oh, I hate it when you're right. Yeah. Yeah, I'm always about, you know, even with the dogs, like they come in, I wipe their feet with the little dog wipes and stuff. And, yeah, I mean, I think there's going to be a lot of new normal for people. Except, you know, I don't know if anyone saw. So I posted the other day on social media that people, there was no, like, chicken or meat in the meat counter, right, in the meat case. At the store, there was no toilet paper. So they were eating and then they were doing their thing. But yet there was plenty of toothpaste. I don't get it. Like, are you people brushing your teeth too? Did you forget that part? You know, I just thought it was funny to see the things that people were hoarding. A lot of people hoarding. And then, you know, there were some people I'm sure that were buying for, you know, their neighbors and whatnot. But yeah, people going crazy buying all that toilet paper. Just kind of, it just, and not toothpaste. You know, like, so if you're eating all that food, you got to brush your teeth eventually, you know.
or what gets me is this is a virus that starts out like a flu type of thing. Why toilet paper? Why not Kleenexes or Scotties or stuff?
Yeah, I don't get it. It took us, I had, you know, shopped like a week before all this came out. And I had bought, you know, the toilet paper, whatever. And then I was like, okay, well, now we're starting to get low. I need to replace it. So, of course, I go out, I can't find any. And I wound up finding some in the RV section at Walmart. I mean, I paid a gazillion dollars for it. You know, I'm used to that. We've done it before. But, yeah, I had it. That was what I had to do.
Well, here's a suggestion. Do you have like a Sam's Club or Costco or one of them BJ's or one of them bulk stores?
Yeah, they do. I mean, I'm just not willing to go in there right now at this point. I mean, people were like waiting online. I don't have the patience for it. I just want to get in, get out, be done. I'm not going to lie.
Well,
I have no patience.
Well, because they have them bun coffee makers with the big, large coffee filters, and they usually sell them a lot. So when you run out of toilet paper, you can use coffee filters or the paper towel.
Yeah. That'll be good for the paper towels. That'd be good for the septic.
you get septic also?
I'm not sure if that's – I guess they have septic. I mean, I always buy everything like septic. Ish, but I don't. I'm not sure if it's septic or not. So, yeah.
Well, usually you in a rural area, then you probably have septic. If you're in a
I mean it's not well water or anything, so that's good. But we're just renting currently where we are, so. It's not really that much of a concern for me, but yeah. So.
Well, yeah, where I'm at, I have there is what they call it county up north. We call it city water and sewer. Here it's county.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, and see, we don't have we definitely, it's not well water, so I'm happy about that. But yeah, because well water is horrible.
My wife will drink it all day long. Me, no thanks.
Right before all this happened, I actually had just bought purifiers for the sink and actually for the shower as well. So I'm glad I did that.
Well, there's only one time I had well water that actually tasted good, as opposed to like I'm drinking a bucket full of rusty nails.
Right.
And that was a place I used to work at up north that was out in the rural area, and the well they had there originally, I guess, dried up, so they had to re-drill and go deeper, and that was actually good. But well water at any level of where I've ever lived always
a little funky. Yeah, it's always funky. Yep. Nothing like some New York tap water.
Well, I don't even know if I go that far. I mean, is that... Actually,
New York's tap water is considered one of the best tap waters. That's why our pizza's so good. Just saying.
Well,
that's why the pizza.
I come from the Philly area. Our pizza's pretty good, too.
Yeah, the food's good there, too.
Yeah. What I miss from up there is good pizza. As a matter of fact, when we have pizza, my wife makes it herself. So it's homemade pizza.
That's the way to go.
And being they didn't have any pizza dough, which is we get it at Walmart. It's a brand called Pizza Buddy, and it's made up north in New Jersey. So when they don't have that, she makes her own dough like she did this weekend. So and if you need a good dough recipe,
okay.
I'll text you the recipe.
Yes,
well,
please do.
Where she got the recipe. As a matter of fact, it's from a guy that comes from down that way. His name is Alton Brown.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, they make good, like, biscuits and bread and stuff down here, so.
Well, yeah, here's they're big on the biscuit thing down here. Biscuits and gravy.
Yeah. I can't do it.
Nah. Biscuits are too dry.
Oh, I can't do it.
Yeah, I'm not I'll do it on occasion, but it's not my primary choice. I'd rather have if I'm going to do something like that, I'll use an English muffin.
There you go.
Back in the day, working at McDonald's.
Or a bagel.
Oh, bagels, yeah, that too. I'm stuck buying Landers.
Oh, I have a friend in New York, and I think he's shipped. I'll find out for you.
All right, because I know my wife has been looking for some, she likes the sesame seed bagels. Me, I could care less.
I think he ships. I'll find out for you.
Well, if he's a friend of yours, at least he would ship it to you if you wanted him.
No, that's one of the business that he was in. He did bagel delivery, and I think he also did bagel shipping. So I just have to see if he's still doing that.
Hmm.
Yeah, I'll find out.
Oh, neato. Appreciate it. I have a friend who had joined me last week on the show. She used to co-host with me when I first came down here. I met her. She used to be a news anchor. Now she works. She got out of the news business to raise a child, and now she's working at a winery / distillery, and they're going from making. They went to making hand sanitizer and giving it to all the hospitals around there.
Oh wow.
So they make legal in Pennsylvania, moonshine, gin, vodka. Apparently the guy was a distiller Said he, she said he made moonshine for 20 years in South Carolina, so you know that wasn't over the table. So it might be good.
I was going to say, and it's probably delicious.
Yeah, it's one thing. Have you tried some shine since you've been down south or in your travels?
We have. I am partial to the peach. I think my husband tends to like the apple pie. And, we've gotten some really good moonshine over the years. Really good. But I'll never give away my sources.
No. I mean, that's one of those things. Hey, you know somebody that, here's, I don't know what they charge down there. It used to be like a quart jar for like $25, which really ain't bad. Apple pie, the apple's pretty good. I haven't had the peach, though. I know somebody...
Oh, the peach is really good.
I got some blueberry from somebody, but they didn't make the actual shine. They just flavored it afterwards, but that tasted pretty good.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we had moonshine once that was... I mean, I could have... fueled the race car with it. I mean, your eyes watered when you opened the... Oh, God, it's crazy.
Do you run alcohol in Stella, or...
We run methanol. She's a 526 Hemi. Methanol and big blower on the top, as people know. And, so some changes, like I said, coming out this year. I don't know, given everything that's going on, when we're going to get started again, but we'll see.
I know where you had posted which paint scheme do you like better, and you had the original and the patriotic, and of course I went with the patriotic. So.
Yeah, and you
know
it's very funny. I'd like to count them all up because I would say it was probably 95% like the original. I was shocked. Yeah, I was shocked. You know, and we've always had a theme on our cars. And then when I came out with it in red, it was just because I wanted to do something different. And I was kind of amazed that was the consensus. And I mean, on all the way around, I mean, it was, I kind of put it out everywhere, and the red seemed to be the favorite for everybody.
Well, the red was the original, right?
Yes. Originally it was red. Yep, because it wanted it to just look like a car that went really fast.
Well, that's pretty neat. Is your personal vehicle a Cadillac Escalade or something like that?
No. I would like it to be. If I could trade in my car and do that, I think that would be awesome, because I like everything Cadillac. I always have. So, yeah.
Well, then, that was the car to buy as an Italian. Everybody, all my relatives, got to get a Cadillac.
Well, it's funny, and that's why, like, when people ask me, like, why a Cadillac, I'm like, because every girl from New York needs a 3,000 horsepower Cadillac. That would be why. So, and that was always my answer. And we named her Stella after my grandma, who was kind of a hot-headed red, hot, crazy redhead, and for many years. And so kind of thought it was appropriate to name it after her, although she never had a license. She never drove a car. So I wonder what she's thinking, looking down, going, why did you name that car after me? I've never driven a car in my life.
Well, she was a – tell her – that's because you could tell her she was a high-octane redhead.
Yes, she most certainly was. She was a sassy little thing.
Now, pretty much, I don't want to get stereotypical here, but being Italian, I guess you and I can if we want. it's not racist or bigoted for us, right? Most Italian women, when they start turning gray, dye their hair red. Any reason why you think that is?
Yeah, you know, I always wondered that. And the color in Clairol is called flame. That is the color that, and I can, it's very funny because my grandma, one of my aunts, the other ones were blonde. So they were either blonde or redhead. And yeah, I can't remember the number. I think it was 36 because, you know, I've been a hairdresser for a long time. But I remember the name was flame, and they all used the same color. My grandma, my aunts, like, they all used the same color. It was hilarious. And it was that, you know, like fireball red. And I don't really know why that is, that older Italian women went red. I don't really know.
I don't either. I know my mom did, and other ones did. Her sister did. And some went back to the traditional chestnut brown and that color. But usually it was they went to that red.
Yeah, I know. And I've had this conversation with other people. And some, I guess, if they weren't the same nationality, were like, what? Like, they thought it was crazy. And I'm like, no. Like, older Italian women will make their hair bright red. And it's not really even a color in nature, per se. You know what I mean? It's just like, it's really not. And I mean, I have pictures of my grandma with her red hair, and she was cute, you know, with her little redhead. And then, but yeah, I never could figure that out. I'll have to do a little research on that one.
You'll have to show me a picture of her.
I have to find one with her red hair, because a lot of the ones that I have is when she stopped dyeing her hair, and the last was, she had suffered from dementia, and she, you know, of course, wasn't coloring her hair at that point. But if you do want to read a little bit about her on my the blogs on the website, there is a blog about her. So you can learn a little bit about her. She was a super cool lady.
Well, get out the website so everybody can check it out.
Yeah, and you can find me at dinaparisi.com or dinaparisiventures.com. If you go to Dina Parisi Racing, it'll still take you to the same place. So you can, you know, I can easily be found. And all my social media is dparisi racing. That's so hard to change, so I don't really know that I'm going to be changing that or not. And it's always me. You know, if anybody has a question, they can direct message me, or, you know, just shoot me out a question, and I'm okay with that.
Well, that's pretty neat. Oh, maybe that's why maybe this is why the Italian women always dyed their hair red.
To match the gravy?
Well,
I'm just kidding.
No. Because they age like a fine wine. And what kind of wine do Italians make and drink?
Oh, well, there you go. All right. I'll take that.
I just made that up. I don't know if it's true, but I always hear stories about Dago Red, so I figured I'd put the two together.
I'm seriously going to have to do some research and see if there's anything concrete as to why. That would be pretty interesting.
Maybe throw a poll out there on one of your social medias. Do all my Italian lady friends, why do you dye your hair red?
Yeah. That would be a good one.
You said you've been a hairdresser for a lot of years, so.
Yep.
How many, did it seem like every Italian lady come in wanted that famous red color?
Well, a lot of older women in general. I worked in it was like a Jewish and Italian neighborhood where I grew up. And I actually worked where I grew up. And many of the older Jewish women, as well as the older Italian women, were all redheads. So, yeah, not all, but there was a high percentage that were very red.
How did you go from hair to figure skating? Then the drag racing.
Well, I figure skated first. So I figure skated all through school. I was a gymnast and a figure skater. I actually remained a gymnast through high school. I was on like the high school team and whatnot. But I skated all my life. And then in my early 20s, I skated for Ice Capades for 4 years. And after that, Andrew and I met, I was like 30, obviously, 33. Well, I was about 30 when we met and started dating. And that was when I started to get into drag racing. And I had always seen it on TV, you know, like Why World of Sports, which seems like 100 years ago, you know. But, you know, I remember seeing Shirley on Why World of Sports. But I actually always watched NASCAR and IndyCar. But I always said, oh, it would be cool to drive those, but I could never sit in the car that long. You know, I need to, like, use the restroom and have a snack. So... when we went drag racing, I was like, this is perfect, you know? So, and I just love the camaraderie of the sport. I love the people. It's such a great family sport. I love seeing all different generations together to go to a race, you know, grandpa and grandma and the grandkids and, you know, the kids in between. So I just fell in love with it.
One thing I like about drag racing and, you know, especially like with the late women in motorsports, they seem to succeed better in drag racing than the other forms of racing, whether it be NASCAR or Indy as well, because I don't know if it's the availability of decent equipment, because maybe nobody wants to come on and put them in a good car. Or it's just the fact that, I don't know, it's just weird how you have more women champions in drag racing than any other form of motorsports.
Well, I think...
Yourself included.
I think NASCAR, per se, a lot of it is they market different than we do. And I like the way they market because they will market the driver specifically. So, you know, you take like Danica, for instance, you know, and she was marketed extremely well from the beginning. But then there are people like Jen Jo Cobb, who's been out there for a long time, or Joanna Long. And they're relatively successful, but you don't hear about them because they're not part of that kind of marketing machine. I think it seems a little pick and choosy kind of. So, you know, it's hard for them. And the difference too also is NASCAR stayed a little bit longer in the good old boys club mode than drag race. It's not a knock to NASCAR. I mean, it is what it is. And I love watching it. But I do think that they stayed in that good old boys club mentality for a lot longer than drag racing. You know, drag racing never needed a diversity program. We don't need that.
No.
Nobody cares what color you are. And, I mean, given, you know, Shirley did work very hard to kind of help us be a little more accepted. And then there's also someone like Bunny Burkett, who people forget who she is or to mention her, which drives me crazy. Bunny was IHRA champion in comp and in funny car. So, you know, she is very well-versed herself. It's just that she was IHRA rather than NHRA. So she kind of... sometimes I feel like gets stuck in the shadows, and she was an amazing, amazing racer. And she's a mentor for me, and a good friend. And she's a sweetheart, and not taking anything away from Shirley, obviously, but, you know, I feel like there are a couple of women that, you know, have really kind of paved the way. But I think also, again, like I said, the diversity program, we really never needed one. Nobody cared what color you were, where you came from. You know, you just kind of got in the car and you went. you know, we don't have to have these programs to bring in people from, you know, different ethnic backgrounds, different races, or, you know, different genders really at this point. So I feel like we're ahead of the scope in that respect.
Oh, much further. Have you ever met Shirley?
I have, yeah. And when I was a co-host for Sam Auksher on his radio show, I had the honor of interviewing her, and it was a great interview. She's, you know, I mean, she's just, there's a lot of knowledge there, and a love for the sport and for the people in it.
Yeah, I had her on a couple of years ago. Now it seems like, wow, it just seems like yesterday, but it was like before last season, come to think of it. And yeah, it was fun talking to her. Just, I wish I had more time. Maybe I'll have to try to get her back on. It was always,
yeah,
it was fun. Maybe I'll have you both on.
Bunny Burkett is definitely another one that that would be interesting to have. You know, she has Bunny and the Boys now, and they like Gary Pritchett, they drive her car for her. She's there. She had some injuries that she had sustained in a crash back in, I think, the 90s. So she's been dealing with some of that. But they're still out there, Bunny and the Boys. She's a great, great person.
Well, I'm going to publicly ask you to hook us up. How's that?
I will do that.
Well, I guess your Andrew's prescription might be ready by now. It was a
exactly.
The first time we've actually done the whole show. Hope you enjoyed it.
I hope everybody enjoyed it. And like I said, you know, just find me, you know, via the website. Check out thepicklesproject.com if you're an animal lover. You know, I just hope everybody comes out happy, safe, and healthy on the other side of this whole pandemic.
Oh, that's for sure. Dina, it's been a pleasure, like it always is. And it's always fun talking to somebody that kind of grew up in the same type of situation that I did back in city life up north and transplanted down south. Hope you and Andrew went out and bought up some guns so you can stay safer, and if you didn't have them already.
I will leave that for another conversation.
Okay. Hey.
Well, thanks very much, Vinny. Thank you, everybody, for listening. I appreciate it.
Okay, you take care, and we'll keep in touch other ways, and we'll get Bunny on. So have a good one.
Yes. All right, you too. Thank you.
All righty. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
There you have Dina Parisi, my guest, NHRA Pro Mod driver and former IHRA Pro Mod champion. Hope you all enjoyed today's show. It's been a pleasure talking to everybody. We'll see you all next week. Stay tuned for the time if I'm stuck in a house again. I might be at night. If not, it'll be noon. So it's either going to be noon on Tuesday or 8 on Tuesday. I'm looking to book someone else I know that's a past guest and somebody working on some music. So, care, we'll see you all next week. I'm Vinny. You've been listening to Garage Talk Live here on blogtalkradio.com/Garage Talk Live. Bye now. I'd say good day and good racing, but the only thing everybody's racing now is around their living room or iRacing, sitting, you know. If it didn't cost so much, I might have tried that myself. I have some friends that do that. So I'll have to look into it for hopefully there's no next pandemic where hopefully we're done with this one and I guess we'll be on the ball for future ones now. So this type of situation don't happen ever again. So everybody stay safe, stay indoors, spread any germs, and we'll see you all next week. Bye now.